the ease and the easy. Is it possible to hear? No. The easy and the ease. I've had the, for me, joy and privilege of taking care of and, well, creating and taking care of a garden some of the year, the last few years. And last year was the third year. Can you hear? You can hear? Okay. Someone said, wow, your tomatoes are really beautiful. If you have a garden, you might know why Daddy's laughing. It took me by surprise to think that they were my tomatoes. They were very tall and full of these amazing, it was like, I don't like cherry tomatoes, or I didn't used to like those little cherry tomatoes. And these were cherry tomatoes, and it was like branches of little red lights all over the plants. So they were really gorgeous, but they were definitely not mine. It's such a good practice to get the feeling for what life is like, where I did a lot of work in that maybe 2 meters diameter, 3 meters diameter circle. It was a circle garden. Not a lot of work, because as you see, this is my first time in the hall without Gyan. It's not like this at home. And all the work I did helped the plants be gorgeous, but they were still not, that didn't make them my plants. I could have done more work even and been a better gardener and had no fruits. And this is one angle to talk about what's happening here. We do need to go into the garden and do digging, watering, picking off slugs, and throwing them over to the abandoned land where they may or may not survive. That's where I've gotten to now. Maybe next year I'll tell you about squishing them or something else. For me, gardening is especially a good metaphor because I love to do it. So I go in, I don't really know much of what I'm doing. I do my best. I try to read when I can while I'm breastfeeding, how to deal with slugs or whatever. And I really enjoy those minutes that I'm in the garden. And the first thing I do when I come home is I go into the garden and see who's there, who made it, who survived the 2 or 3 weeks abandonment. And that's what we are here to find, is what we love to do anyway, whether we get the fruit or not. And when there is fruit, we know it's not my plant. It is gorgeous. And those are delicious. I used to hate cherry tomatoes. So, of course, anytime, ask a question if it occurs to you, whether it's a word you didn't hear or understand or any other kind of question. Uh-oh, the talk may be over now. The signal has come. So I'll give the very brief synopsis summary. Once upon a time, there was an oak tree in the faraway country of California. And it was gorgeous, and it was huge. And it was the namesake of a farm. The farm was named after the tree. And one year the caterpillars came, and they ate more than half the leaves of the oak tree. And they ate more than half the leaves of the neighbor's oak trees. And the neighbors sprayed something to kill the caterpillars. And the people of this oak tree farm waited a second and looked what kind of caterpillar and thought, well, they're almost finished with that part of their life where they eat and eat and eat and eat, and they'll stop eating. And the tree will have maybe 25% of its leaves, and it might make it. And so intuition says don't spray. Hot, long summer is coming. And hot, long summer came. Neighbor's trees, meanwhile, free of caterpillars, grew very full, bushy, nice, green, big, shiny leaves that didn't do so well in hot, long, dry summer, and trees died. The big, huge, scraggly, ugly-looking tree that hardly had any leaves made it through the summer. Knowing that we don't know what to do is important. Thinking that we know what to do is dangerous. Thinking that it's our fault is dangerous and untrue. When something's going on like a caterpillar and it seems to be eating all your leaves, just wait, please. It's not always that we shouldn't do anything. It's not always that there's a long, dry, hot summer coming. It's not always that the caterpillars stop eating just in time. But if we can really accept, it's not my fault that the caterpillars have come this year. It might be part of some kind of bigger cycle and picture. And then we move from there. A friend of mine is from Chile, and she was in Chile during the earthquake. And she used to always be, in our friendship, the confident one that would say, ah, yeah, let's grab the scooter and go and do such and such and such and such and come back. And I would think, we'll never make it back. Living in Lucknow, going on a scooter and going here and here and here. And she told me last year that ever since the earthquake, she was in a building and she was holding on to a friend of hers who was completely losing it. And she was keeping her friend here. And they both were sure they were going to die. Ever since then, she's not so easy to go on the scooter, even in Barcelona. I have to go. She said she feels shaky to think about getting the scooter and going up the hill. And I thought, yeah, that's how I've always felt. And it's not her fault that there was an earthquake that she kind of saved her friend's life in. It's not our fault if we feel shaky or angry or entitled or whatever we feel. And if we can accept that that's part of what we actually need to, once we've accepted, it's our kind of like food that we can cook to go in, to be free. Then we can make it through the long, hot, dry summer. Okay, I'll meet you there. Anetta G, do you want to ring the bell after the time? Mm.